Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of Boobs, Blades, and Body Art, a lady's guide to nerddom. Today, we are going to be discussing weaponry, but not them pesky firearms, oh no. This is just everything but. Kind of. We're also not going to include grenades or anything like that. Whatever. Today, your hosts are, as always, myself, Becky, and the ever-wonderful...
Myself, Becca. Becca. I made that sound like a parrot. Becca.
Becca.
My brain worked good.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to discuss all things. So, we're talking about, like, no gunpowder.
Yeah.
We're going to... So, no cannons, no... And we'll say no fuel, so no, like, flamethrowers or anything like that.
Yeah, nothing that goes...
Nothing that produces explosions.
Yeah, that's a better way of doing it.
Yep. I mean, works really well. Because, I mean, depending on where you are, it can sound like that. If you're really close, it just kind of sounds like ringing. Or you don't really notice because you're dead.
Yeah, that is true. So.
But...
So moving on
weaponry,
wonderful thing,
but not yes. Moving on from death,
yes.
We will move on to not death and weapons, and we're going to start with probably like one of the oldest styles of weapons, and it's an axe.
Yeah,
because axes have existed since like Neolithic age. There are some incredibly beautiful stone hand axes that are just fucking stunning, and still have their sharp edges today.
Yeah, it's really
so
impressive.
That's insane.
Could you get them? Obviously, when we think of axes now, they're the metal heads. Whereas once you start going back, obviously they didn't have access to metal, so it was like stones, and it's just very, very clever. They were very clever people.
They were freaking geniuses. So you have during like. Neolithic age, you've got mostly you see flint axes. That's the big one, especially for where I study. And it's anyone who's ever been near flint knows once you give flint an edge, it's razor sharp and doesn't lose it until it breaks.
Yeah.
So you can see, but how smart was someone to think I'm going to hit this rock against that rock and look, I've made a pointy thing.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be able to use this pointy thing to chop wood down. Because
yes,
my hands don't do it.
What are you talking about? I am from the Minecraft school of collecting wood. I just punch trees until they go boop boop, and then I get a small cube of wood that I walk into, and then the tree doesn't collapse because gravity doesn't work.
Yes,
it's all a lie.
It is all a lie. So you know they.
But axes, yeah, we're saying we, you know, I love a good. You know, stone axe, they are stunning, beautiful, but you do think of the classic metal axes.
Yes.
Which come in numerous varieties, shapes, sizes, styles, effectiveness, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you have the thin axes once you get into the Middle Ages, which is obviously just a bigger axe head on a longer shaft. Talking about axes is not going to be without its innuendos.
Wait until we get to spears. Wait until you get to spears. If combat chat has taught me anything, talking about spears with dirty-minded people is just impossible.
Yeah.
So, but yes, Dane axe is definitely like what I think of. I think of like, oh, especially for like, when you think of battle axes.
Yes.
I think of a Dane axe. I don't think of the two-headed axe because I don't like those.
No.
They are dumb.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't really. Why would you waste all of that? It's going to be so stupidly heavy when you can just have it all.
Yeah, especially considering what axes are primarily used for. Like before we started getting into any sort of axe being used for battle, it's used to chop wood down. So why on earth are you adding this extra thing that if you are swinging, is going to go into somebody or something else around you? Like. It doesn't make sense for it to be double-headed. Any sort of axe to be double-headed.
I mean, you have weapons become specialized, so you do have axes mm-hmm. and types of axes that are better at cutting wood or doing specific things for like splitting
yeah.
and making certain things. And then of course the axes for war did develop, and you have them creating different, you know, they get longer and they become halberds, and then yeah. they become small, and you have almost like throwing axes. You have that beautiful one. Oh, what's it called? It's called like a I want to call it a falchion. That's a sword. Franciscan or something like that, but it's a beautiful curved almost axe head, and it is designed for throwing, and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
So you can have axes in numerous ways. I love them all.
Yeah.
Apart from as a double-headed axe, because they look dumb.
Yes, and that's the other thing as well. Like, even if people go, oh, well, it's a battle axe, and therefore it's specifically being designed to be used in combat. Have you ever actually watched a combat people? Because you are standing next to other people. If you have an axe that's that big and you swing it behind you to get the momentum to swing it into somebody, you know, you can't just, like, go, bleh. You have to, like, put
also,
it behind you. You're going to hit
when
someone.
When you are fighting someone, you are fighting them with one edge.
Yeah.
That other sharp edge is just in the way.
Yeah.
Like, there are weapons that have two sides, but generally they don't have the one I quite like. There is a thing called a war hammer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably talk about them, but so it's got a hammer side and then often has a spike on the other side.
Yes.
That makes sense. It's easier, but they're not the same.
No.
It's not often you just see two of the same. And on big weapons, like, you always see it in TV shows, and it's always with Vikings.
Yeah.
And you see this really big, burly dude, often not wearing much, with a really big battle axe. And it's got these two massive heads, and it's like half the size of him, with all metal. And I'm sorry, metal was rare at that point. No one would have made something that looked like that. And probably he would have got one swing. It would be so unwieldy and heavy. Then he would have got to about, like, above the person, and four other people would have killed him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. These... You're in battle. What? You want to be quick and move easy. Yeah. You don't want to be open to getting killed by 20 other people who were watching you going,
no. Huh? Well, that's the thing with the Dane. The Dane Axe was designed to split open shield walls, to immobilize horses, to be intimidating, because it is intimidating. You've been in battlefields with Dane Axes on. They are pretty damn intimidating weapons.
Especially when they start swinging them. My God.
And that's the thing. There's the wonderful thing where people will swing them over their heads.
Yeah.
And you have to look at that and go, I'm meant to now try and get near that person and kill them, but that head is moving around and I'm probably not going to be able to run. You've really got to time it if you want to run in and get the person swinging that beforehand. So you can just normally do that. Actually, if I saw that and it was a sharp, real battle and there was just someone swinging that, I'd be like, you can stay there. You do you.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Yep. I'm going to go kill your friends. Bye.
Yeah.
Then I'll just probably come across someone with like a two-handed spear and I'll be like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Like,
just be running around looking
for something. I'm going to look for a video to put this into the Discord. So keep an eye out, people in our Discord, for this video. If I can't get hold of one, I am definitely going to message one of the two people who I've seen do it very, very well, the swinging above the head, and get them to just record it so you can see how bloody frightening it is. Because
can I just also say, it's the most fun.
Yes,
because the second I bought my Dane axe and it arrived, that is the first thing I went out in the garden and did. I was spinning it around my head, and you feel fucking awesome. Yeah. And also really clicks your shoulders nicely, just saying.
Well, clearly I need a Dane axe then.
I would be scared to swing a Dane axe in your garden.
My garden?
To do the whole spin.
Well,
I think you'd be able to do it, but the second you were slightly too far one way or too far the other, you're taking out a tree.
Yeah, we also have the washing lines.
Oh god, yeah, that would go one up and then you just wrap around a washing line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crap.
It's all right, I'll just do it in the middle of the road. But it's not like it gets used for anything.
I mean, you could just come round and use my ginormous card.
That too.
And also, the Dane axe is here.
That is also true. I mean, I was talking about getting my own Dane axe.
Well, I highly recommend Jackhammer Forge.
Cool.
Random plug there for a forge that makes really good reenactment weapons. As I own a spear, a Dane axe, an axe, a Say axe from there.
Nice.
It's like most of my kit. Apart from the sword, that's most of my stuff comes from them. I need to get sponsored by Jackhammer Forge.
Clearly.
I'm already modelling loads of that stuff. I'm going to go out with sponsorships to go out on Hastings with just Jackhammer Forge written across my boobs.
Yeah, I think English Heritage might have something to say about that.
I will just make sure they don't see
me. Okay. But we should probably move on.
But back to weaponry, because we are talking about weaponry. Yeah. So yeah, we're not going to be doing deep dives into stuff, guys. We are just going to be doing little overviews. Maybe we could do, like, come back and do more in-depth into, like, the history of them.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested, because I can definitely talk the hind end off of any animal to about the beginnings and where they have come to now about probably every single one of these weapons, because for anyone who can't tell, mildly obsessed with weaponry, am I?
Only mildly.
Am I? Only mildly, only a little tiny bit. So we'll move on to probably the more famous, like, hand-to-hand combat weapon and swords. Because when you think of hand-to-hand combat, you do think of swords.
Yeah, like, it's the most flashy of things, you know. It helps that it's metal, obviously, so it does catch the light and stuff like that, and there's something special about a sword.
There's something about them, isn't there? You do, like, you do just feel infinitely kind of cooler once you're holding one. You're kind of like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm a badass. Learn to use it and you will also look cool rather than just being someone who goes,
meh. Yes.
Because that is not a good fighting strategy.
No. But it looks cool. Well, I mean, it looks cool to own a sword.
Oh, it looks cool to own a sword. And owning swords is, I actively encourage, as long as you are safe to be around them. If you accidentally skewer yourself on everything, maybe swords aren't for you.
Yeah.
I'm aware it's a little hypocritical of me saying that, given my accident bones.
Yeah, and me.
But I am, I have been raised around swords, and I'm taught to be very, very safe with them. So shockingly, that is the one time when I'm, like, super duper safe. And I do judge people before letting them hold any of my sharps. So, if I don't let you hold my sharps, it's not because I don't trust you, it's just I'm concerned for your safety. But, so swords were, they always started out very small, almost. You have what more people think of, like, the short swords. Because, again, making with metal, it was so expensive, so it's not until you get to probably middle ages, particularly in Europe. I am mostly speaking from Europe. And the UK, I can't speak for most other countries because I'm a historian of Europe and the UK. So all of this will be jaded towards European and English weaponry.
I'm sorry about that, but however, I can't really do much about that.
No. I mean, I do know of other weapons from all over the world, but I can't, you know. Have you always seen this fun debate where people are like, oh, what's better, a broadsword or a katana?
Yeah, it's like, well,
and everyone's always like, oh, the katana's folded loads and loads of times, therefore it's the best. No, it's folded because they're metal. Shit. That's the simple reason. You would also never put those two weapons
because
up against
each other.
They're used
for different, like, okay, they're not used for different things. I mean, a sword is a sword. It's used to stab somebody.
They're used in different styles. Yeah. A broadsword is a blunt instrument, almost. It is designed to go through whatever's in front of it. Katanas do the same thing, but they are very much about speed and sharpness, whereas you can have a kind of dull broadsword if you put enough force behind it, it's going through whatever you've got in front of you.
I mean, the other thing to look at as well is, like, is the armour that you're coming up against. When you're coming up against a lot of, like,
what's it made of?
Metal and stuff like that, you just want something heavy that's going to go through what you see.
I mean, if you look at the clankies in plate armour, you know when that's when weapons become a lot heavier, and it's almost more about bludgeoning mm-hmm. people and crumpling them into their armor. I mean, we're going to talk about like clubs yeah. and blunt weapons, so we can mention things like that there, but they very much became heavy. This is like the medieval period yeah. you're really thinking of here, because you know we said people know we know about like the early medieval, you've got chainmail at the most, so you can still kind of do slashing depending on the strength of your chainmail, but also you're still not everywhere is covered yeah. in chainmail, whereas as soon as the invention of plate armor comes around,
pretty much everything
you are head to toe in plate.
It's usually just your joints that aren't.
No, but then that's a good place to go for, but you've got so much yeah. else in the way and you can't really get at the little no. joints. I mean, you see that these guys have such tiny visors almost to see through, if you're thinking of like the little mm-hmm. slip visor that you do kind of think of when you think of like a big yeah, medieval definitely. Knight. Their vision is so limited.
Well, see,
so you're not going to be doing precise fight sword fighting no. like you would with a katana, where if you look at what they fight in, it is all designed on yeah. movement and speed. Clankies were never designed
so,
for speed.
It is impressive to actually watch this, because you get a lot of people who go, oh, well, they're in full plate metal, therefore they cannot move. Like, you expect them to walk
no.
like they're, like,
oh,
big no. hulking, but they can move. Do not underestimate
it's
them.
It's like that myth. There's like there's wonderful historical myth about how clanky guys in plate armor. I've got to stop calling yeah. them clankies. Almost needed a winch to put yeah. them on their horses.
No.
That's not true. That I don't know where that came from. I'm gonna blame films like
Probably.
Knight's Tale. I love that film, but you see, he has really light yeah. armor in that. Light the armor wasn't that heavy. It was mm-hmm. heavy. It was heavier than everything else everyone else yeah. was used to. But it wasn't that they were, you know, slow moving and they could still book it across fields. It was just a lot more mm-hmm. tiring. And famous of examples of where, like, the people in big plate armor are really slow are things like Agincourt. And that is because also they were walking through yeah. mud. And no matter what you're wearing, walking through mud is yeah. difficult. Walking through mud in full plate is even mm-hmm. harder. Shout out to anyone who did that super wet
oh
kill march.
God,
knows exactly
yeah.
what I'm talking about. I rescued it, Clanky.
I think the other thing is as well, like... Sorry, Zeus just made a noise mm-hmm. and completely derailed my train of thought.
Oh, well, he is distractingly cute. So I've got... Tess agrees. I don't think you probably heard that, but she's like, So Tess agrees. Are you distractingly cute
yeah.
too? Are you distractingly cute too? I think you are.
Distractingly cute.
We're both getting distracted by cute animals. Hello. Oh, do you want bellies? You want bellies? Ah, oh, you do.
But yeah, Clanky's people in plate are very fun to watch on the like battlefield. Once we open
it
back up.
Incredible to watch them.
Go to your local reenactment show and just watch them, because it is amazing mm. how much they move.
Watch them. Yeah, so you're looking for your medieval guys if you mm-hmm. want full plate. As I said, if you want early medieval, you're going to get chainmail. English Civil War, you'll often have breastplates, but you won't have
yeah.
full plate. You are looking for your medieval if you want full plate armor. That is when plate armor was at its height. That was when we relied
yeah.
on it. Before that, we didn't have the capabilities of making it. And after that, we kind of realised it mm. wasn't the best. Because of all this limited... Because you did have limited
yeah.
movement. That was the big thing. You weren't quite slow, but you did have... Your movement was
mm-hmm.
slowed because you had all this metal in the way. You know, you couldn't easily rotate your arm above your head. You couldn't easily
yeah.
turn the whole way. So
yeah, I actually remembered what I was going to say now as well.
We've mostly been talking about armor.
Yeah,
now.
We kind of are, aren't we?
Cool.
This will be the last bit about the armor, just because I find it really interesting as well. And it's like a lot of people say about how heavy it is, but it's also like tied onto the clothing. So the clothing takes a lot of the weight from you. When
yep.
you see people in chainmail, you'll see them wearing a belt, and then the chainmail is like shifted up a little bit and like hung over the felt just a touch, and it's because it releases all that weight. It's like when you have a big backpack on and you do the chest and waist straps.
Yeah. The clips over.
It just releases that weight from the...
It's weight distribution. You know, if you had all of this weight just attached at two points, then, yeah, you would feel it. You would tire out way faster. Because, you know, you've seen all the classic images of people getting buckled in, and they did often have people to help them get into this armour. That's not a myth. That is a true thing. Because you had so much to buckle in, but it meant that they weren't in one sheet of metal. It was broken up and it was distributed across their body, which is why they could still move fast, because they didn't just have to... It was a bigger weight, if that makes sense. But
yes, anyway, moving on.
Swords.
Well, the interesting thing with swords as well is obviously they did start off, we said about them starting off short, but it basically was a dagger that then got longer and longer and longer and longer. Yeah, it's essentially we start off with daggers and then people go, hey, we can make these long.
I can have this longer, and therefore I don't have to get as close as to something if I need it. Or I can cut things bigger. And it progressed from that. Also, our metalworking skills got better. Metalworking skills you have, the better a weapon, and therefore the more it will be able to hold a longer length. Also getting more iron out of, and just getting more metal out of stone, means that you could make these things look more impressive. Same way, that's why axe heads got bigger. That's why things like that changed.
Yeah, and then we obviously get, I mean, it goes even bigger from that still. Like, you know, you then go into your hand and a half and your two-handed swords as well.
Oh, I love bastard swords. They're the big clay one. I want one so much. I'm slowly talking Chris in to join me in HEMA and tell Andrew. we're just gonna turn up one day.
Yeah.
but I love hand and half swords, and that's where you get the people kicking out at the end of a blade. That is a thing. That is something they would have had to do. It's just because these swords were so big. Anyone who sees a giant sword and someone stands there holding it upright for a really long time. No, because they are designed to just be used in a downward motion almost to cleave, because you can put a lot of gravity behind them. It's fun.
Very fun indeed.
I like them. I do like the smaller, the slinkier. You have the fun of the sabers. You've got the beautiful curved cavalry saber, which is a thin curved blade, but it has also got a lot of weight behind it. And that is designed, again, because you're on horseback now, you're swinging in downward motion, they could cleave people into. I am thinking more of like a French cavalry saber. Basically, I'm thinking of the sword Sharp has in Sharp. it's also a sharp sword. I got to stop making Sharp references. But those swords are beautiful.
Yeah.
And the smaller swords never went away. Like, you have the bayonet. So the swords, they're not swords. Sometimes sword bayonets exist. Sometimes a bayonet is just a long knife. They can be again, we'll talk more. We could probably more talk about those when we talk about guns, because for a bayonet you need a gun. So we can talk about those later. But it also shows that the use of knives and swords never gone away, even with the invention of gunpowder. The improvement of guns. You think when people go to war today, they still take knives with them. They still take these things. Yeah, they don't take a full saber with them anymore. But you think how useful a knife is.
Like, it can do anything. It can, you know, stab somebody, or it can, you know, prepare your meal for the evening. Like, knives are useful, and we should have more of them.
They are.
That's where my brain went with that. one of the other interesting things, obviously, when we started talking about this, we were looking at like the names of groups of swords and stuff like that. So, you know, you have your hand and your half and your two-handed, which is where your longsword and your katanas come in. But then there is also the axe-like swords, which I absolutely love, because neither one of us had ever gone, you know what, my sword looks a bit like an axe. But you're...
Yeah, when you said this as well, this is the joke of this. When Becky says an axe-like sword, I was like, that in my head, I was like, it's a sword, but it's got an axe head on the top. And then the one that you mentioned, I actually own one, and I have never considered it an axe sword. And then I started thinking about it, and I realised for its purpose.
Because the one that most people will know is a machete. Machete is an axe-like sword. Mm. And when you look at the shape of it as well, like, if you actually just stop and think, it does kind of go into that axe shape at the top. I'm not saying it absolutely isn't, like, you know, it doesn't just go straight into an axe. You have to look at it for a long time to, like, even process it. But you can see why it's put under an axe-like sword, especially because the use of it as well. You know, these were for the heavy chopping and slashing movements, especially when you know, get into your harvesting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I do, but you also have, like, of course, when you think of swords, they have these wonderful mm-hmm. cross guards. This is often how they're more identified, by their cross guards. And for a long time, they were quite simple. They're very minimal. It was almost a straight line, occasionally mm-hmm. would go into a curve. But you get later on and you start getting these fantastic basket hilt hands. And they are so fun. Also kind of designed for punching people with them, depending on whether it's a display mm-hmm. sword or not. I mean, I know that Andrew has a basket hilted sword. Kind of. And it was. His was very cheap. Mine, I still have the whole basket sword. They are so fun, but it is very weird, because if you are used to fighting with a sword, mm-hmm. like, say, we do in the Vike, and you can do all these fun, interesting grips, you suddenly realise the basket gets in the way. So it also shows the changing in fighting style, how often swords were being used, the way swords were being used. You think of dueling and rapiers, and when fencing comes in, they have all these more fanciful hilts. And it is about hand protection, because you can't quite wear the same big gloves. But if you've got the basket on, you don't have to think about it as much, because that acts as protection. I mean, it can get through, but you look at the design mm-hmm. of basket handles, and you've really got to do a lot of work to get through the basket to get at the fingers, whereas if you just take the arm off, it works way more effectively.
Like, you're probably more likely to get hit with an arrow than you are to get hit with a sword at that point. Like, through the basket.
Yes.
It's what I was thinking.
Which is impressive. I would be impressed if someone got an arrow through a basket hilt. I should totally look that up and see if that's a thing that ever happened. I don't know how we'd find that out. What we need to do is find a really good archer and challenge them.
We will do that.
To put a arrow through a basket hilt. I am not volunteering my basket hilt, though. My lovely sword is not being used for those purposes. I don't want her damaged. Well, yes, we'll use Andrew's. It's fine. But let's move on from swords and such. We'll go to longs and pointies, and we'll talk about all things spears. And this is where we're probably going to have to say the word shaft a lot. So everyone get your giggles out here. Oh, good God. Sorry, the dog just nearly rolled off the bed. And she would have landed straight on a load of Warhammer. Please, that's it. Roll that way. Roll that way. Good girl. Please don't fall on the small plastic models. I will be really sad. Chris will laugh, but I will be really sad. Also, I don't want to have to try and pick those out of her fur. I have a lot of pointy models. But yes, so spears. You do think of the single-handed mm-hmm. spear mostly. It's one of the most common weapons that existed. It was one of the first ever, like, projectile weapons that existed. More the javelins, but still kind of a spear. We actually were talking about this, like, what's the difference between a javelin and a spear? Because technically, I can just throw it and it becomes a javelin. So it makes sense that we just put it all together. But I do love seeing a really beautiful, like, yes, two-handed spear. So you have the really long shaft and the bigger spear heads. Again, we get to go and play against mm-hmm. them in the Vike, and you've seen them. They're fucking terrifying, depending on who's wielding them. And you can have some that look like, we're saying, the one that gets known as the sword on a stick, because the spear head is ginormous. It is basically the side of a sword. And then you still have 2 meter plus of shaft. So you're not getting near that person. Like we were saying with the Dane axe, where it's about intimidation. You've got to get so close to that person to get to them. The two-handed spear is an amazing example of this, because you've got to get a long way to get to them. And they just look
cool. They do. And I think that's, again, where, like, it's almost like we always say that it's never the length that matters. But honestly, when it comes to spears, the longer the better. Like, that's where, like, my brain goes with how impressive I find them.
See, now you've got to be careful, because then it might become a pike.
Like, I love the length of pikes, though. Like,
a pike length is... I don't care. A good long pike is so fun to play with. And you feel awesome. Because also, you use pikes to hold off horses. There's only so... You feel kind of safe with a spear mm-hmm. against a horse. But when you have a, like, 8 to 12 foot pike, and you're holding it out against a horse, you're like, okay, if the horse runs onto this, I can let go and kind of back off before it gets too near me. Yeah. I'm feeling kind of safe. And also, you just feel cool walking around with it. They are quite heavy, though. They are deceptively heavy pikes, just because they're so big. Although, the first pike I walked around with was made of oak, so it was possibly the heaviest wood it could have been made out of. So I got to run around with a really long, heavy pike. Really fun, though. And in with spears, we've got kind of, we mentioned about pole arms coming in and the halberds. So they do often have a spear top, and then they do have an axe head on them as well. And those, you are looking again about the medieval period, because Dane axes were more what you have in the early medieval, and these evolved into becoming what you get to be a halberd. You do see them. They're often also a sign of importance. You'd often see commanders on the battlefield having these halberds. I don't know if that shows that they're not the ones that want to carry the big pikes around, or if they just want to point with them. They are really fun to point with. Like, you feel awesome. Also, they often have tassels on them.
Tassels are cute.
So you do look kind of like you're a cheerleader.
Yeah,
you're like,
why not?
Which I like. Yes. I like that as a thing. And I like the idea of a whole cheerleader squad with halberds.
We should definitely create that.
We should, which means I need a halberd. Yeah. I have a reason to buy a halberd.
Just kind of like going back to regular spears, whatever.
Single-handed spears?
Single to double-ish, depending. Like, when we get into double-handed spears, it can get a little bit, like, dodgy, because it really is pretty much just the length of your shaft.
It is all about the length there.
But the interesting thing, obviously, is the way that the spear tip has evolved, because you obviously just had, like, a bit of stone tied onto a bit of wood in the very, very beginning. But then we started, like, advancing them, and then you had, like, boar spears, and...
I love boar spears, or you call them wing spears as well. I love the fact that the boar gets its own spear, just to show how terrifying a boar is. For people who don't know, when you hunt wild boar, you have to take a specific spear to hunt with, because if you skewer a boar with a regular spear that does not have these wings on it, the boar will go, oh, you're fighting, okay, and will run up the spear, skewering itself further to get to you. And that's terrifying
it
as
really
a concept.
Is. And...
So, also, boars are huge. You want to keep those things far away. They got big tusks. You just don't want to... And then I feel bad because I've got a boar skin over there. Ethically sourced, I'd like to say.
I do think it is quite funny, though, that at one point somebody went, you know what we really need? A spear that stops boars, because we've lost 12 men to that one boar.
I like to think that they came back from the last hunt and, like, look... Dave's dead. Kevin's dead. Wilson's dead. What are we going to do? We can't keep hemorrhaging. And then, like, someone comes running out and, like, gone, look. And it's just got these two little wings on it. And everyone's like, it'll never work. And then they go out and test it. And, like, this is fucking genius. And they went everywhere. And you do. You see these wonderfully elaborate spearheads. And they become, like, you see them become longer again. They become longer over time because we get better at working with them. You also do need a good way to attach it to the shaft. You can't, for every, you know, for as long as your shaft is and for as long as your spearhead is, if you have this weak point where they meet, if you do not have it secured properly, it's just going to snap off and then you're just left with a stick. Although having a stick is not necessarily a bad thing. For example, like quarter staffs and just staffs in general, you can do a lot of fucking damage with those. But I wouldn't want a snapped off two-handed spear because you'd just be miffed. Although you would then have like a pointed top, so you
depends
could carry
how it,
on.
Like,
you could have like
snaps,
a lance,
I guess. But the other thing.
True. You're still miffed because someone broke your weapon.
The other thing is, as well, we eventually kind of, you know, stopped having them with just one blade, as it were. We decided we would split the. You don't actually split the blade, obviously. But, you know, we then have tridents and pitchforks. So you can have two spikes and three spikes, and it gets really fun because the more spikes you have, the more damage you do.
There's a wonderful one that's like, it's like out like that, and it's about four. And it looks fun. You just imagine catching something and spinning it, because you would just rip if you did that on a person. I imagine it's a piece of farm equipment, but I'm now imagining it as a weapon. I don't know anyone who has seen some sort of farm equipment and not imagined how that would kill someone. I think is not right in the head. Or it might be not right in the head. I don't know. That's all right then. That's fine then, as long as it's not me.
Fine.
But yeah, so I think we made it through that section without giggling at the word shaft.
I'm really hoping that nobody else did though.
I'm hoping everyone else giggled at us talking about the length of shaft. I'm also really pleased that no one could see hand movements during that whole
section.
There was
quite a lot of movement.
There was a lot of miming, particularly for when I was talking about connecting. So enjoy that mental image, guys. Let's move on to like projectiles. We were saying about javelins, but javelins work more with spears. But projectiles, that big one you think of is the invention of the bow. And I friggin' love bows. Bows are amazing. I'm more of a fan of a regular bow. I'm not a big fan of like crossbows. Though you see, I love a longbow. They are amazing. And there is a reason that even when gunpowder and guns were a thing, longbows were still being used. Because they were that good. They were that dangerous. The use of bows affected the way people's bones grew and attached. You can look at a skeleton and know that person was an archer at a period of time because how well developed one side of their body is, because you were just doing this motion. I realized everyone knows what drawing a bow looks like, so everyone knows exactly what motion I'm doing, but you're doing this all the time, and it just makes one side of you really big, and it makes one side of your shoulder means it's constantly doing a motion all the time, and it just means certain bones never fuse properly, and it's really freaking cool. And the second I learned that, I was like, I kind of want to do loads more archery and try and do that. I've realized I'm past that point now. Those bones are now fused for me. So everyone, teach your children young.
Like, I know that obviously when we think of bow and arrows, especially back in the early days when they were first brought in, it was a bit of wood with a bit of string. Obviously not string, I'm very much simplifying this. And now obviously we have these huge bows that are made from like fiberglass, and they have like 20 different things that help you. And
the compound bow,
I honestly don't like them as much.
It's insane with those. I am partial to a compound bow simply for the fact that you can have it where you don't feel the draw weight, but it's still got the punch. It's a deadly combination and I love it. Whereas like with the thing like the longbow, you have to be able to pull it all the way back
I
to release that amount
prefer,
of force
though, because you do get to have that like feeling of satisfaction of being able to pull back like a £35 butt or a £40 butt. You know, it goes higher and higher and higher.
Yes, yeah. They go up by pounded. My favourite thing to do with that is when someone thinks you won't be able to. They're like, oh, this is a very strong poundage bow. And you go, hang on.
Yeah.
And you're like, sorry, what was that? However, my small tiny gripe here, when you see it in movies and they've got longbows and they're walking around with them drawn like they're guns, please stop doing that. That's so bad for your bow. Just have them ready without the string pulled back. Just have them ready so they can pull it and then release. Because that is so bad for your bow. Looking at you, Robin Hood. That film makes me grumpy for many reasons. The new one, not even the Russell Crowe one, the fucking new one where he's in a gang.
I haven't watched this one, but
yeah,
we're going off topic anyway.
So
yeah,
yeah. Well, it does. It makes sense.
But yeah.
But also, it's like but you have all these. Also, bows change size quite a lot. Clearly, you're not going to really be using a longbow on a horse. You can. There are some beautiful competitions, particularly in Japan, where they use longbows on the back of horses.
Yeah,
it's insane and beautiful. However, for me, if you're on a horse and you're using a bow, you've got to look at the Mongolian bows, because those are designed for being on horseback and look beautiful. And Wish keeps trying to sell me one, and probably I guarantee it won't look as nice. Because it's Wish. So, we shall see. But also, that's like a little sneak in with this for it's not a bow, but slings.
I mean,
definitely
projectile.
Come under this. Because they are throwing, it is throwing a projectile. And I think slings is a very underrated weapon. They're very effective. Definitely depending on what you throw. But you can throw anything, and a big advantage is you can light that stuff on fire and then throw it. And that works really well against discouraging people coming near you. Second you light something on fire and throw it at someone. I mean, we could really talk about catapults and trebuchets here, but I feel like we could do a different one on war machines or something. But I like the sling. The sling is just so simple. And anyone who has seen a slinger on a field knows that they're also quite scary, because you can't watch where their projectiles have gone, because you will just be going, where's it gone? Where's
don't
it gone?
Don't ever Patch, actually ow. Look for one, because you're probably more likely to get hit.
Don't follow it. Yeah, don't. If you know a sling is there, don't look at where they've thrown. Look at them and chase them down. Look, that's giving out murder advice.
It's being like, we're going to go into battle at any point. My God.
Yes. I know. If in doubt, kill your archers, your slingers. Also go after your spear, your two-handed spearmen and your Dane Axemen. Then once you've got rid of all of them, kill everyone else. Yeah. And once they're done, you loot their corpses. Mm-hmm. Or all that stuff.
And me.
And then you give it to me.
Yes.
And Becky. You bring it to the podcast and we split it.
And anything that we can't split evenly goes into the shed until the next battle, and then we can get more. Just heading That's back fun. To so. Buzz is something that we haven't really touched on really, but is the arrow. Because obviously that's the most important part of a bow, is the arrow.
That is what you're... Oh, the different types of arrowhead.
Yes.
They become terrifying so fast. For a long time, it is your standard little triangle. And that's when they were made in stone. The first arrowheads are very much that shape. And then you have the bodkin arrow comes in. It's a very specific type of head. It's almost like a diamond shape, and that is designed for punching through armor of many kinds. It can punch through plate armor, it can punch through chainmail, it can punch through most types of armor. Once the bodkin arrow fill came in, that is when after that arrowheads went kind of nuts, and everyone went, oh well, if we can do this, I'm gonna have a crescent moon shaped arrow, or I'm gonna have an arrow that has spikes on it for some reason. And it's like, the guy who invented that one, I feel like he probably needed a hug or something.
I mean, you have the judo points, which have spring wires extending from the tip, because of course they do.
Because why not?
I mean, talking about fire, we have the ones that are caged almost, so that you can light them on fire.
Those are very cool arrowheads.
You have the teeny tiny ones as well.
You, of course, arrowheads are still used now. You still have different types of arrowhead today. You have ones that are specific to hunting. You have specific ones for fishing, specific ones for deer, for ducks. The ones that I've seen, I think it's for ducks, is that they stay together and then they fan out almost and they become multiple different points. And that's terrifying, the idea of being shot by one of those. Also, I would like to say to everyone, if you are listening to the way we are talking, we are not referring to arrows as being fired. We are saying they get loosed, because you do not fire an arrow. An arrow is loosed. Mm-hmm. Firing implies combustion. And now I'm going to fuck it up and probably say fire or something. Or someone's going to go, you actually did say fire at one point. And if
the other thing that...
The ones I love... with arrowheads is the ones that you see have the really long little tails. So you have the classic arrowhead and then it comes down into these two fine points. And there are some beautiful examples of those made of stone and flint. And we can't recreate them now. And because, of course, these were all made by hand. We could probably make it with a machine, but these people who made them didn't make them with machines. They made them by hand. We can't do that now. Mm-hmm. They could. And that's incredible. Also just flint with an arrow. That just seems owie. Ugh.
I was going to say something else, actually, but came across this one, which this is the actual arrowhead again, but it's the broadhead, which was specifically used for war and are now still used for hunting. But they have 2 to 4 sharp blades on them to cause massive bleeding, which is just what you want when you're shooting arrows. I mean, it is when you're in war, but that's fun.
So what are you saying about arrowheads? They are gorgeous, and I don't know, I'll put a picture in the Discord of these selection of arrowheads, but I'll show Becky. I don't know if you've been looking at these. That is just such a wonderful variety of arrowheads there. Most of these arrowheads are almost still in use. Arrowheads have not massively changed. We kind of peaked, we worked out what was best, and we still use the same basic format today. So,
because why not? When it works, it works.
Right, we will we'll put it in the blunt. We'll go on to sickles and sides. So we were saying about, you do think of a scythe and like a sickle. So for anyone who doesn't know the difference, the difference is a sickle is a hand weapon, a scythe is two hands.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
I don't know.
It's all about the size of the shaft again.
Yeah, shaft is important.
You've got to have a good shaft. Yeah. For anyone that didn't get their giggles out, please get them out now. You do think of scythes are so intimidating. That's why death has one, although technically they were invented for cutting grass. Again, these are farming. A lot of weapons come from farming weapons.
Yeah.
You would never really go to war with a scythe, because it would be very ineffective.
Yeah.
You've got a lot to do. Because also you can't really pitch it at someone in a stabbing motion. You'd have to swing it in the way it's worth. Although I do imagine you would definitely be able to take someone's legs off with it.
Yeah, well...
And that'd be a nasty way to go.
They do have the war scythe, obviously, which is the pole with basically a scythe blade on the end. It's not as curved, but it's...
No, it doesn't have the big curve, does it? What you more think of. But yeah. Imagine being the person who had to go up against the person with that.
Oh my god. It would...
You would kind of look at it and just kind of go, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Yeah. Would you like to kill my friend here? Because I'm fine letting you do that if you won't hit me with that thing, because that's upsetting.
Yeah. Move on to somebody else.
Yes. There's a guy down there. He's an asshole. Yes. Go get him. He's called Wilson. Go get him. Getting them all in today.
Just to say, it is the shaft. A sickle is hand held.
Yep, that's what I thought. I thought it was all about the shaft.
And then the scythe has got... actually, all the sides that you usually see in like TV when you think of death and stuff like that is not actually a correct interpretation.
It should have two handles on it.
Yeah, it needs to have the one at the top and then the one halfway down the shaft. You need to get a really
because
good
the way
grip
you
on
would,
shaft.
Because you have to hold on to the handles to swing it to cut grass. Yeah. You can't do that. If you had to hold it like that and do it, you would break yourself so mm-hmm. fast. Whereas the handles, for anyone who has ever used it to cut grass or to cut wheat or any sort of growing mm-hmm. plant, it is. But they are so crazy effective. But yeah. you do imagine it would fucking hurt to be hit by them. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I have never accidentally hit myself with one, but I have got them. Mm-hmm. And they are fun to use. I also have a sickle.
Oh, nice.
My gramp used to use a scythe to cut his grass.
Oh,
he didn't like. He did have a lawnmower, but he was his sitting lawnmower. He used to sit on it.
Okay.
Get drunk.
Was it actually meant to be a sitting lawnmower?
No, it was meant to be a lawnmower he used. He just didn't want to use it because the scythe worked better.
Okay. I mean, yeah. If that's what you want to do, then...
Yep.
That's what you want to do.
All right, so we can't really linger on scythes and sickles too much, but they are just such an iconic-looking weapon.
Yeah.
I think I like them because they also kind of remind me of the kopesh, which mm-hmm. is an Egyptian weapon with that similar curve in it. And I adore that weapon. I want one. I like looking at them. They're yeah. so pretty. If anyone's got one, please send it to me. but I think I think the scythe kind of comes into that same little love for me.
Yeah.
They just look cool. They look so cool.
They do.
It's the rule of cool. There is definitely a rule of cool when it comes to weapons.
Definitely.
And scythes definitely have that. They yeah. definitely have the cool. Hence why Death walks around with one.
Yeah.
Come on, that's the coolest motherfucker ever.
He does look very cool.
He has one, you can't disagree. Mm-hmm. If you do, take it up with him.
Yeah.
Or her. It's just a person of skeletons.
Yeah.
So,
take
I've
it
never
up
looked
with
at death.
Them.
Take it up with them. They will be happy to show you exactly where you can stick it.
Exactly.
And I'm sure if you're nice, they'll show you their shaft as well.
Yes.
So
the next one that we're going to be talking about is the big, heavy, swinging ones, otherwise known as clubs and other blunt weapons.
I thought you were talking about my dick. But, yes, clubs and... maces come into this one quite nicely
yes.
as well. What we were saying with the clankies in their armour, the maces were a huge thing there because you could just go and pummel in the armor, you could go mm. for the faceplate. Even if you didn't kill that person, you're rattling their skull in such a way that you are gonna have one hell of a headache.
Yeah.
But also, as soon as that visor gets dinted, you can't see anymore. So you have the choice of you can't see and you have to sit there, mm-hmm. or you have to take your helmet off.
Yeah.
And either way, you're fucked now because you can't see. You can't see what's coming at you until you lift the visor.
Yeah. And you don't want to do
but
that.
But also, you could. Yeah, and also you might not be able to.
Yeah.
In which case you're completely fucked.
Yeah.
At that point you just lie down and pretend to be dead.
Which is always fun. The other one that I really like, which is kind of similar to a mace but is very different in of itself as well, but is the Morning Star.
I love a Morning Star.
Because it's a bit more like a club than an actual mace, but then there are different types of them as well. There are ones that have more mace heads with the spikes
yeah.
coming out, and then you have the longer heads with spikes coming out. Basically, they have lots of spikes coming out. I like the spikes that are coming out, is what I'm trying
to say. I like the spike. See, now, I'm a sucker. I definitely put it in here. I am aware they are not an effective weapon, and I do not care. A flail.
Yes.
If you put that little chain between the ball and the thing, I don't care how bad it is, I don't care how ineffective it is, it looks cool and
yeah.
I want one. If it's good enough for the Witch King of Angmar, it's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want his one specifically. but they just look fun again.
They do. And you can swing them.
I think they work quite well once you get going and throw it.
Yeah.
You could, and again, they'd work quite well on clankies and hitting them.
Yeah.
Where you couldn't just really... the weapon that I wanted to put in here, I did consider putting it in projectiles, working for me on the list that she's looking at. It came under blunt weapons.
Yeah.
I can see why, but I would definitely... It's definitely a projectile as well. And that is the boomerang,
mm-hmm.
which is just the funnest weapon. And it's probably the only weapon people buy at tourist traps.
Yeah.
And more people definitely have boomerangs just lying around.
Yeah.
But they were designed as weapons. They are designed for hunting. They are designed for caving in people's heads.
Yeah, because they are a blunt weapon. And if you throw a boomerang at somebody's head, it's going to bloody hurt.
I mean, you can also sharpen them. As a joke, so if you watch Mad Max 2, the kid's got a sharp boomerang. I went to say the kid's got a sharp one. That sounds weird. But this is a sharp. And you could sharpen a boomerang. You could put a sharpened edge on the inside and or on the outside. It's just going to be way more awkward to catch when it comes back. Yeah. That's the main issue. He has a fancy glove that apparently helps.
Of course. So.
Apparently, I love a boomerang. I don't own a boomerang, and I'm really sad about that.
I think we've got a plastic one somewhere. Mm. The really interesting thing with my list that we were talking about, though, is obviously it has the boomerang on there. But then I was just like, well, I'll look at some of the other ones. And, you know, there's some on there that I've never heard of because they're, like, Asian ones and ones from New Zealand and stuff like that.
There's lots with very specific names that... The ones that we're naming, probably these names you will just know. There are, once you get to the nitty-gritty, you will go into specific types.
But the one that I just came across was wrench.
The wrench?
The wrench.
As in a wrench?
As in a wrench.
I mean, because I can. It is very effective in video games, I'll give it that, but I can't say I've ever seen someone run to war with one.
Well, no, they're saying it's an improvised weapon, because...
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah. No. Right. Best improvised weapon... Hands down, iron skillet.
Yes.
If you have got an iron skillet in your house, you have got a deadly weapon. You can cave a man's skull in with one blow.
I love iron skillets. Coming across the wrench, and the sledgehammer is on there as well.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, as I said, I mentioned Warhammers. I suppose that would go in here. And not Warhammer as in painting tiny plastic models, as in a hammer designed for war. Yeah. Also, though, I do have a... tiny little thing with the Warhammer logo. You know, they have that hammer. Not technically what the Warhammers look like. But
obviously they're fiction, so it's fine.
That's the thing. As long as they're not trying to say it's based in fantasy, as soon as they go into fantasy, I don't care. You look at the amount of fantasy swords, axes that exist, how fantastical and completely ineffective they are. Yeah. I mean, that Warhammer hammer does look effective. Yeah. But you would need power armor to lift it.
Yeah. Which is why they have power armor.
It is. And which is more impressive.
Maybe we'll do an episode on weapons in the 40k / AOS universe.
Well, the weapons of Warhammer. Yeah. I like that. That's a good one. I like that.
Let me write it down now. You can all hear on my keyboard.
Everyone has just heard an episode literally just be invented. And I am now super stoked for it because that one's awesome. And we will talk more about Warhammer.
We will. And talking about Warhammer is obviously good because we both enjoy Warhammer.
We do love our bit of Warhammer. But yes, Warhammer's... they appeared. Again, I think they're a medieval thing. As I said, they have the hammer, which, again, if you're fighting someone in plate armor, you can bash, as I said. But also they had that spike on the other side, which you could punch through the armor with. There is an incredible example of the use of a warhammer in the Battle of Towton in the Hundred Years' War. There is a skull with a perfect square in the back of it, and that is where someone put a warhammer through the back of that person's head. He's also in the back of the head. It looks like the person was running away. Yeah. So that is particularly vicious. Yeah. That is a fascinating war to read about, or battle to read about in that war, because it was near the end. So everyone was quite angry at one another.
So something for you all to go look up, along with all of the weapons that you've heard in this episode and didn't know about.
Look up your weapons. Let us know what your preferred, what do you like, what is your favourite, we've got to do that, right, what is your, of the list, like, so you've got the axes, swords, spears, we'll say bows, scythes, clubs and blunt weapons, what's your favourite?
My favourite for, like, I think just because it's, like, the way it makes me feel when I hold it, and the power it Ooh. Gives me. We're going to have to go with a sword.
Oh, I thought this was going to be my penis again.
That's the non-weapon. Like, that's a non-combatant. That's the loving weapon.
Okay, that's fine. Yes, the sword is... There is something about holding a sword. I would definitely put the sword as mine as well. I would have to give an honorary mention to an axe, specifically the Dane axe, just because as cool as it was, the second I got my own one, I did do the whole, this is cool. As I said, I ran out into the garden and swang it around my head and felt awesome and then made my shoulders hurt because I did it for so long. I think I was out there for like 15 minutes literally just swinging it around my head. I had the best time. But yeah, I definitely think the sword... So everyone, let us know, what is your favourite? Do you have a favourite?
And if not, why not?
Yes, why don't you have a favourite? Everyone has a favourite weapon.
Well, some people might.
Sorry, not. I keep getting... Tess is twitching in her dreams. It's so, so cute.
Well, speaking of Tess, shall we do our animal facts?
I feel like I should have a fact about a dog now, but I don't. Do you want to do your fact first? Candy.
So, my fact is that some sharks actually glow in the dark. There was a study published in 2019 that showed that some shark species produce a glow from an unknown small molecule that, it causes the green glow. And it can help fight against infection as well.
Oh, sharks are so cute. Just want to smush their little faces. I mean, certain ones you really can't smush their faces because they get really grumpy about it. But they're so cute. I'm mildly obsessed with sharks. Another animal I'm mildly obsessed with. My fact is about bats.
I love bats.
And without bats... we would have to say goodbye to a lot of different types of food we all definitely enjoy. Because over 300 species of fruit are dependent on bats for pollination, including bananas, avocados, mangoes, certain types of nut, fig, and cacao, which is the main ingredient in chocolate. Yeah. So chocolate might not be a thing if we didn't have bats. And if people think bats are creepy and gross... I hope you like, if you don't like chocolate, then fine, you can say that. But if you like chocolate, you've got to start being nice to bats. Because bats are also, how can you think bats are creepy? They're so cute.
They have little fuzzy.
They've got little fuzzy faces. And they have the ones, have you seen the ones with the big ears? They're so, so cute. Everyone needs to go follow Bats Every Hour on Twitter. That page makes me happy.
Happy page. Pretty much any animal every hour is a...
All the animal every hours. That is what my Twitter is full of. It is just full of Warhammer models, animals every hour, and occasionally boobs. But on that note...
Our next episode is episode 14.5, and we're going to be discussing women in comics.
Yes. So... as we said, we kind of hinted about we were going to do the whole, we're a little definitely late to the whole International Women's Day, but we're going to make a little series about women in certain media and the way women are perceived. And this is kind of a good one. We're going off with women in comics. So, as I said, it will be an interesting one. It will go a little bit deep with some personal issues, as I said.
Yeah.
But we will put a warning when that happens. So, and episode 15, we're going to be talking about music.
Yay.
We're going to be talking about our love of music, bands that we love, all things like that, and how much we are missing going seeing bands at the moment.
It is a real thing that I am missing.
It is so, I think I had it pop up like memory of like the last thing I went to see before lockdown. And I was like,
it's not fun.
I want to go see music. But yes, so everyone join us for those.
And
we have our own Discord. Please join us. Tell us what you're up to. Do you have weapons?
Yeah, show us your weapons.
Show us
your works in progress. If you're working on anything, and this is literally, I've seen this a few times now, but when we say show us your works in progress, We don't just mean miniature painting. Literally anything that you are working on, if it's something that you want to show off and that you're proud of, please show it off. We literally want
please
to see
drop
everything.
It.
Maybe not quite everything.
We would love to see everything of you, but let's get to know each other first. Let's grab dinner. If you are writing, if you paint, if you draw, if you do crafty things like the whole cross-stitching, sewing, anything, whatever you do, show it to us. I mean, there are certain things that if you make them, we maybe don't want to see. Please, no pictures of poop.
Yes.
But whatever. We have a nice little section if you want to introduce yourself. There is no pressure. You do not have to if you don't feel comfortable. But get to know everyone. It's a really nice, safe little community. We do not tolerate assholes in there. So we have, of course, a social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please drop us a follow. And
Twitch.
Be wonderful. And, of course, Twitch. And we are considering doing another live episode. But we are hoping, because possibly the end of kind of lockdown is in sight, I might actually be able to go and see Becky again. We are hoping that we could possibly celebrate with the next live episode where we are actually in the same room, so you get to see us sat together, realize we aren't just, you know, we're not estranged randomly, and you get to watch us, or at least watch me flail my arms around again. So and I won't be blocky this time. Everyone was very sad that I was so blocky last time. So, we shall see.
And on that note, guys, we will talk at you in the next one.
Fuck you, Wilson.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.